guys, welcome back to another episode of Less Panic, More Peace. Thank you all for tuning in. Being allergy-free is a dream for many. You can eat what you would like without any thought. However, if you can't go one way, go the other. In this case, if you can't be allergy-free physically, be allergy-free mentally. On this episode, we have a very special guest today who goes by the name Jess Carrillo. We will talk about food allergy anxiety, turning negative feelings into positive ones, feeling like an outsider, dating with allergies, social anxiety, and so much more. So without further ado, I introduce to you all Jess Carrillo. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How about you?
Great. Thank you. So to begin, can you just tell the audience a little about who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So I run the Instagram Nut Free Mentality. I like to talk a lot about allergy, anxiety, and just kind of like the mental aspects of things life that comes with food allergies. I share my life a little bit. I share kind of what I've learned through just therapy, things like that.
Yeah, I saw your Instagram and oh my goodness, there's so much helpful information on there. There's so much really cool like quotes, and it just made me feel very safe kind of going onto your Instagram and just like, wow, like this is really amazing. You know, you talk about feelings, anxiety and all that and kind of being nut-free mentally. I love that kind of concept, nut-free mentally. If you guys want to check her out on Instagram, it's at nut-free mentally. So what are your allergies and like what's the severity of them?
Okay, so I have like 35, basically. They're not all technically anaphylactic, but a lot of them I will react to. So my worst one is definitely walnut. I'm allergic to all tree nuts, though. But my top four, like really bad ones, are walnut, pecan, peanut, which is not a tree nut, but listing it, and hazelnut. So we have tree nuts, peanuts. I'm also allergic to wheat, soy, all seeds, lentils, pea. There's so many now. I like have to like mentally go through the checklist. I'm also allergic to chia seeds. Quite a few things. I have a list on my phone that whenever I want to eat something, I'm like, okay. But like, if I actually see the words, I'm like, okay, I can't have that. I can't have that. But when people ask me to just like list it off, it's so hard to remember everything. But I also can't do several fruits like pineapple, can't do any melons, can't do kiwi. But my worst ones are definitely nuts.
Wow. So that's a lot of allergies. And that must be really hard going to like a restaurant and just like telling them, the waiter and waitress, okay, so these are all my allergies. Just you have to remember all of them. So what do you do like in that situation?
Honestly, the allergies like wheat and soy, they're actually really new. I've only had them like since I think 2020, the beginning was when I was actually diagnosed. I'm still kind of learning how to deal with those. For now, I don't really eat out a lot, but I do eat at Chipotle. Because I love how they have like their list of like all the ingredients and there's no nuts, so I don't have to worry about those. I don't think there's even any seeds really either. So them, I just kind of like tell them like, okay, I have allergies, and I'll sort of like do the big ones and just let them know. And then, you know, I've never had a problem there. So
that's good. So when were you diagnosed with your nut allergy?
So peanuts, I was 2 years old when I was officially diagnosed. My mom kind of suspected it beforehand though, because I would get like little rashes on my arm if I was around peanuts. So lived peanut free till 12 years old. And I had my first big anaphylactic reaction to walnuts because I didn't know that I'd actually developed a tree nut allergy. And, so kind of found out the hard way with that one. And tree nuts, it was kind of like after I had the reaction, we got tested and I showed for all of them. And it was crazy because I used to eat tree nuts a lot too. So I just out of the blue developed it.
So you just developed it. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I didn't know that was actually a thing. Like, actually, can people develop allergies? So you've had them before, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had, I think the only tree nuts I haven't actually eaten before are Brazil nut and hazelnut.
Oh, wow. So do you mind like telling us that story of like having an anaphylactic reaction? I know like so many people, all the listeners love hearing stories. So would you mind telling that?
So basically what happened, I kind of had like an inkling that something was wrong when I was around like probably 11 and a half. I would eat things with nuts and I would get a little bit itchy. And by then I kind of knew how to medicate myself. So I remember this one time I was at a friend's house. We had something with walnuts, and her mom was a great baker. She was really good about my peanut allergy, but I got kind of itchy. So I kind of just went to the bathroom, took Benadryl, and I was totally fine. And so I kind of like chalked it up to being like, oh, maybe the walnuts were processed with peanuts and she just didn't realize. And so I had like a few little instances like that. And then on the day of the bad reaction, we went to get like a Christmas tree. I was with my family. We picked out the perfect tree. I was super happy. And they had this giant walnut tree and they were selling walnuts. And so my mom was like, hey, like, you know, do you have any other, like, do you have peanuts on site or anything like that? They're like, no, we just get the walnuts straight from the tree. So we're like, this is great. There's no chance of cross-contamination. And so we got a bag of them. And then I started eating them while my dad was loading up the tree on top of the car. My mom was strapping my little brother into his car seat because he was just like a baby. And so I'm eating them and I start feeling itchy and I'm like, no, like these are okay because they're from the tree. It's okay. And so I ate more because the logic of a 12-year-old, and so I ate more. Of course, I got more itchy. And so I'm like, okay, like, you know, maybe I should stop. So I stopped eating them. By this point, we're all in the car. My parents don't know anything's wrong. We're driving and the Christmas tree farm is only like 10 minutes from my house. So we're in the car. All of a sudden, it starts getting itchier. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, maybe I should take something. And my mom was holding my EpiPen bag in the front seat. And so I was like, hey, mom, I need Benadryl. And I told her the amount that I would have for a reaction. So immediately she was like, are you okay? And so she's pouring the Benadryl and she looks at me and she's like, oh my gosh, are you, what happened? I was like, I think I'm having a reaction. And I was like, all I ate were the walnuts. And so she gives me the Benadryl and it didn't work. By this point we were at the house, and my lips had started to swell and I was internally kind of like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Cause I'd never had a reaction go that far before. Usually it was just like, you know, take your Benadryl and you're good. And so I started getting really scared. My mom's like, Jess, I think we're going to have to use an Epi. And I was like, oh my gosh, because at that point I was just so scared of the EpiPen, probably more than the reaction itself. And, but you know, I realized that I had to do it. So she Epi'd me, we called 911 and it was definitely a very traumatic experience for me. I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, am I going to die? And, it was very intense.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's like a really intense experience. I mean, I know like my siblings and I, we all have allergies. We all have nut allergies. And remember, whenever we go through it, it's like always that kind of death, you know, there's like a possibility of death, which is like so scary to talk about. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it, but it's so necessary to talk about and at the same time. So I'm glad that you shared that. That's like, I feel like one of the most important things for like what I learned from that story is like taking the EpiPen right away and kind of speaking up with your allergies and saying like, mom, I have an allergy. I feel like I have something in my throat. Like even if it's a little itch, kind of just saying something right there, right then and there is like the most important thing because people know if they should help you, like what they should do right after that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think too, like just understanding that you can develop allergies and trusting your gut to know, like, if something makes you feel like you're reacting, like trust that and take care of it.
Yeah, definitely. So do you actually have like the same allergic reaction? I'm just curious about this myself, but do you have the same allergic reaction you do with your other foods? Is it different? Do you feel like the same, like tingly in your throat or like?
It can vary. I know with like all nuts, well, pretty much any kind of reaction, it always starts in my throat. It gets like super itchy. But like with nuts, it's kind of strange because it's more like in the back of my throat, but then, like with seeds, I'll get more itchy sort of in my mouth. And so it can vary slightly. But most of the time it does start with some kind of oral itching of sorts.
Yeah, that happens to me too. It's just like, kind of feels like your throat's kind of closing up. There's like needles in your stomach for me.
Yeah,
all that. So it's very tough, but it's very important to like speak up about it and that allergies can be developed, which I learned today with new facts every day. So and also kind of mentioning from that story, I feel like a panic attack and an actual like allergic reaction, how do you differentiate like those two kinds of attack, like you know, panic from an allergy?
It's hard. It's really hard. So I was actually diagnosed with panic disorder when I was like 20-ish. I'm 22 now. Basically I took a couple classes where I learned how with panic you can have symptoms like, you know, shortness of breath. You can have symptoms like your lips feel a little tingly. You get kind of shaky and you feel a little bit, you know, you feel on edge. I'll also have symptoms like my stomach hurts. So like, obviously a lot of these kind of, you know, they overlap with anaphylaxis. So it is really difficult. I think one of the things that I do that really helps, I have a pulse oximeter. So it's like this little thing, that you put on your finger, you put your finger in it. There's no poking, no needles. It's just putting it on your finger and it reads your oxygen levels and also your, heart rate. So I'm able to tell when I put this on there, you know, like, okay, if I have like, you know, 95 oxygen, even if I feel like I'm short of breath, like it's probably a panic attack versus like actual allergies because I'm not, you know, I'm having the oxygen, it's so helpful. And I actually learned this from a firefighter whose son has a peanut allergy. And he told me like, yeah, we have our pulse oximeter and it's just so helpful. So that's definitely like my biggest tip because you can tell like if you're actually getting oxygen. I think another thing is just being like learning to be aware of your body and like how you feel. Like if you're feeling anxious, know that there's a possibility that that might be, you know, playing a role into it. I think the hard part is when you're having anaphylaxis and panic, because then it's just like a combo and it's really difficult. But another thing too is typically with panic attack, I don't get itchy. So if I'm itchy and it's like, or my throat feels like it's getting worse, or if symptoms feel like they're getting worse, that's also can be sort of a hint that it's actually anaphylaxis versus panic.
Yeah. Panic and anaphylactic. I think I had both of those. I think last year I had Thai food and I had an allergic reaction and I was panicked. Like I was so panicked because this is my first time ever. I didn't know what it was. So it kind of like, I was about to sleep. Like I was like, oh, there's this little tingly feeling. And it's like, I felt my throat closing up. I was like, okay, whatever. I guess it was just bad food. I'll just wake up the next morning and like deal with it. I don't know. So I was about to go to sleep and my sister woke me up and she's like, cause she had a lot of allergic reactions before. And I told her about this. I was like, oh, I have a little itchy in my throat. I don't know. And she's like, well, you should go, tell mom and dad then like about this. Cause they might be an allergic reaction. I was like, no, I don't think so. I mean, I felt fine. I was kind of playing it off, I guess. And wanted to like, I was going to sleep it off, I guess. And then she woke me up and she's like, okay, you have to go tell them if your like stomach hurts now. So then I had to go tell them and it was an allergic reaction. And I was so panicked. I was like, oh shoot. Like imagine I actually went to bed and I actually slept. Yes. I don't know what would have happened. I mean, I probably would wake up in the middle of the night if it's hurting so bad, you know, but you never know. And so back to the whole like death thing, you know, it was so scary and I was so panicked. And it really helps, I feel, also to have a support system right there to kind of calm you down. I feel like that's one of the biggest advices I can give the listeners as well, kind of getting support from a community who knows you and, you know, has allergies themselves. So mm-hmm. I think that's like a really important thing. Besides an allergic reaction, negative and positive terms. So back to your Instagram feed, which I really thought was really cool. You had so many tips and I want to kind of mention this on your podcast, on this podcast here. So you posted this probably last year, but it was challenging four common thoughts and you kind of made it into like a positive thoughts and like kind of challenging those. So can I read like those negative thoughts that you wrote? Okay. So this is a disclaimer, everybody. She wrote these. I'm taking this off of her Instagram. But I'm just going to read that really quickly. The negative thoughts, and then you can like challenge them and kind of make them, it's like a little game. You know, I like read the negative thought and you kind of make it into a positive kind of thought. So it makes people feel a little bit better mentally. So the first one is, my reaction was my fault. I feel so guilty, or like I'm a failure. So how do you challenge that?
So I think you kind of just have to have a little bit of self-compassion and say, you know, this happened to me, but it's not my fault. You can do everything right and still one little thing is off that you're not aware of and you can have a reaction and it's not your fault. Your body just responds this way.
Yeah. Awesome. The next one is nobody will ever want to date me because of my allergies.
Yeah, definitely not true. I used to think this. There are so many people who will not care that you have allergies. I mean, I have so many and I still have a boyfriend. I'm in a happy relationship. You know, it's just about finding the right person. Not everyone is right for everyone, but there's going to be people who they won't care or they will go the extra mile and like buy you safe food or learn how to cook for you. Like it's so possible and you're so worth it.
Yeah, 100%. I'm definitely not worth the effort.
Yeah, so you are worth the effort. Everyone with allergies, you know, I think we kind of think that we're a burden, but like I said before, you know, there are going to be people who will love you and will care about you enough that they will put an effort. They'll learn how to deal with your allergies, how to use an EpiPen, all those things, and they won't care.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I do feel like a burden sometimes kind of going to people's houses and they're like, I say, okay, I have this amount of allergies. Can you please not put this in? Or like, do you have any snacks? I don't have this. And so kind of like you make you feel like a burden, but you're just not, you know, this is, you know, everything happens for a reason. You have these allergies for a reason and it's okay. It's like your health, you know, it's kind of life and death. So you have to be open about it and kind of talk about it. The last one is, my food allergies make me a weaker person.
Yeah.
How do you challenge that?
I used to think that too, all those things, honestly. So I think you just kind of have to think about what you go through on a day-to-day basis. You know, we have to read labels. We have to sort of think ahead. For those of us who have had really traumatic allergy experiences, we have to deal with that trauma. And all of these things, especially when you put them all together, they're a lot to deal with. And I think we think that they make us weak, but the fact that we are able to experience these things and go through them and then still be okay, you know, that shows a lot of strength. It really does, especially dealing with the anxiety and the awkward social situations. You know, it takes a very strong person to be able to do that on a day-to-day basis without a break.
Yeah, I definitely concur. You know, kind of going back to what you said, it makes you stronger, I think. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And you have to go to the grocery store and you have to pick ingredients off, you have to read every single one with taking, you know, when taking off the shelf. And it takes a lot of effort and dedication and devotion to really focus on, you know, yourself and your allergies. And that's mm-hmm. like a whole job in itself. So yeah. It really makes you a lot stronger. So yeah, that was the little game. That was a really nice game, and I hope a lot of people benefited from that. So for people who don't have allergies, kind of going off people who are listening and don't have allergies, what should they do? You know, what should they do to make people feel better mentally and kind of make them feel good?
I think the first thing is just like showing an interest and wanting to learn about allergies, like, you know, asking like, hey, can you teach me how to use an EpiPen? Or like, are there certain things that I, as your friend or as whoever they are, you know, are there things that I should be looking out for, like in case you start reacting? And then I think like the next step would be trying to include people with allergies. So if you have like a type of event or something like that, if you ask the person, you know, what are your allergens? Are there things that I can provide for you that would be safe for you? And just really trying to do it, I think almost going out of their way to ask someone with allergies, like that just means so much and it shows how much they care. And then it kind of takes away this feeling of like, oh, I'm a burden, or oh, I don't belong, because then you're kind of, you're including them and you're saying like, hey, like I want to support you and make you feel comfortable.
Yeah, definitely. I just love it when people just like say, oh, by the way, this doesn't have nuts in it. And I was like, oh yeah, thanks for thinking of me. This means a lot. Yeah. So yeah, I just love it when people do that. So kind of going to back to your like childhood life, because I know I have a lot of listeners who are younger and they're kind of dealing with allergies themselves. And it's really hard mentally, especially in this like social media world that we live in right now, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat. There's a lot of like cyber bullies kind of bullying them about their allergies. And even in school, like before COVID, I've heard so many stories, you know, from people like spreading peanut butter on someone's desk, which was one on my other episode that I talked about, with a college student. You know, she had to resort to online school because of that. And so there's just so many bullies out there. So did you deal with any of that? And like, how, if you didn't, or if so, how did you cope with it?
I mean, I would like to say that I didn't, but I definitely did. I think when I was in elementary school, when I was younger, I didn't really, my mom made it very widely known that I had a peanut allergy, because at the time it was just a peanut allergy, because she hoped that if everybody knew about it, it would keep me safer. So I was the one girl in school that had the peanut allergy. And when I was in the younger grades, everybody kind of like rallied around me and they were like, oh, like, you know, if someone brought nuts, it was like, oh, you can't have these here because, Jess can't have them. And so, you know, it was kind of very supportive, but then, I think the bullying kind of started in sixth grade. They were these three guys, they for some reason thought it was really funny that I had allergies, and of course I'd gone through all of elementary school with them already, so I don't know what exactly caused it, but they would sort of like ask me, you know, like, what happens if you have a reaction, like what if we put peanut butter in your food, or what if we, things like that, which was really, I was like this small, sensitive, kind of shy little girl. And I was not, it was a lot for me. And then one day one of the boys comes up to me and he's like, I have peanut butter in my hand. And he tried to grab my arm. And I was so upset. I was so upset. And it was near the end of the day. So luckily I was able to just kind of like, he said that, and then I saw it and I ran. And I told my mom, and unfortunately at the time I didn't exactly have the most supportive teacher either, so that could have also been part of it. She encouraged people to bring peanut butter sandwiches on field trips, even though she knew I had, you know, the peanut allergy.
So weird. And,
it was very strange. And the funny thing is too, she always talks like, if we see her around town or whatever, she'll always be so happy to see me, but I'm just like, it's very confusing. So that was definitely, I was traumatized by that. I was scared to go back to school. I ultimately told my mom, and she spoke with the principal. The kid was suspended in school which was bizarre, but he had to like stay in the principal's office for the day or something. And he left me alone after that. But I also had like another girl who thought it was funny. I had allergies. She would kind of make comments here and there. And then like in middle school and high school, I went to like a smaller school and it was a private school. I'd been going to public school. And we switched over to private because the public school I would have had to have gone to was like further away. And my parents worried about me, my allergies. So going into that, everybody had like their own community. And I was kind of like the one person that was thrown in, and I didn't necessarily feel welcomed. And so that was hard. I tried to hide my allergy a little bit because I felt like they thought it was weird. And there was one boy who had supposedly a peanut allergy too, except he would just eat whatever. He didn't read labels. And so it kind of made me seem like I was paranoid, and because he was just so like, whatever with his. And so it wasn't like until high school, I think, that it was very obvious. But I remember my best friend at the time, she asked me like, oh, are you going to so-and-so's party? And I was like, what party? And she's like, well, everybody was invited. And I was like, I wasn't invited. And she was like, oh, that's so strange. And so I ended up asking the girl who was having the party, you know, like, I didn't get an invite, kind of like, what's
good for you?
On? Yeah. I was just like, what the heck? And she's like, oh, well, you know, I don't know that I can make cupcakes safe for you. So I just didn't think that you should come.
Oh my God.
And, I was not happy about that. And I hate to say it, but I do hold grudges. So sometimes I'm still like, but I just was like, all right then. I mean, I kind of wish I'd been like a little bit more sassy, but I mean, that hurts. That kind of thing hurts, especially when they're just so like blatant about it, I guess. And I think it was hard. That definitely, I'm pretty sure I went home and cried after that. It's hard to know that people don't want to be around you because of a condition that you can't help. But I think some things that helped me were I started going to therapy. I've kind of gone off and on throughout my life because I do have, just allergies aside, anxiety disorders. So it helps. But therapy in general was just very helpful. It helped me realize, you know, like if people are going to treat me weird or be bullies about something I can't control, then that speaks more to them than me. And I don't want those people in my life anyways, because even if I didn't have an allergy and I was invited to that party, like I wouldn't want to be friends with someone who treats other people like that. So I kind of learned to sort of take it as, I guess, like a blessing, because, you know, it makes people show their true colors a little bit more.
Yeah. Wow. That's such an insightful story. And like the way you kind of took from that, it was like very classy of you to kind of take away those ideas from what they did. That was just so dumb. Like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine if someone just didn't invite you because of your allergies and something you can't control. It's like, I can't control it. So why are you kind of holding that against me? But at the same time, like you mentioned, it's like a red flag right there. If they're just not being good to you, nice to you. And yeah, as you said, like if you don't have allergies and, you know, they would do something like that to somebody else, that's just horrible, you know? So I feel like that's the same thing with dating. If they don't kind of help you or like understand what you're going through, and that's like a red flag right there. They don't care. And so it's like easier, I guess, kind of eliminate them from your life. So yeah, and I think those people are just not very educated on it, on like allergies, and they don't really understand. They're not really sympathetic with them about that. And they're probably hurting inside for something else. Who knows what? Yeah. So yeah, I'm glad you shared that. It's probably going to help so many young kids kind of dealing with that allergies and bullies. So Thank you for that. And I want to kind of take a little intermission. This is a little segment I do. It's called Fast Five Questions. And it's basically, I'm going to ask you five questions. It's basically like 73 questions on Vogue and, mm-hmm. or like Ellen's Burning Questions. I'm not sure if you heard of those, but yeah. Those are the kind of things I'm going to be doing. So it's like five questions and you're going to answer them as fast as you can. And yeah, okay. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to drink some water. Okay. How do you come across clear to a waiter or waitress?
I speak about my allergies. I'm firm in how I respond, you know, make sure they know. If they seem sort of like, oh, you know, it's whatever, I'll just be like, no, I have allergies. Like, you need to take this seriously.
Awesome. So you see yourself getting stressed out or anxious at a restaurant, right? So like you're there, this is a scenario, you get stressed out, you get anxious, especially after COVID, it's like very hard to kind of like, you kind of forget your kind of skills talking to a waiter or waitress. So mm-hmm. like you kind of see yourself getting stressed out or anxious at a restaurant. So what's one thing you do right away? Like what's one tip that you can give people?
Take a deep breath, you know, focus on breathing, ground yourself. If you have to, literally just if you're overwhelmed by everything, just step outside for a second and evaluate how you're feeling. And know if you're so stressed out, you don't have to eat the food. Like you can literally just walk away or you can just get it for takeout and eat later if you feel safer.
Yeah, that's a great tip. So what's one thing you would say to a guy or girl when they lean in to kiss a person with allergies? What's one thing you would say?
Well, typically I try to tell dates like before it even gets to that point, because I feel like it's so awkward if you have to tell them right then and there. But I think if I hadn't told somebody, I would honestly just be like, hey, real quick, I have allergies. Like, you didn't eat any nuts today or anything like that, right? Or just kind of ask them real quick, what did you eat? You know?
Yeah. Awesome. So what's one word to describe your allergies in general? I know it's a very broad question, but what's one word you would do say to describe your allergies as a whole?
Okay. So the first word that comes to mind is annoying, but
yes, I did agree.
It's such a pain sometimes, but I think, okay, one word that describes it. I think eye-opening is probably my more thought out word, just because it sort of taught me that, you know, there is more to someone than what meets the eye. I have all these allergies and all these sort of struggles that if you look at me, you can't tell until you kind of talk to me. So I think it's made me more aware of those things. Also the allergies themselves, they've sort of taught me about like how I can develop allergies, because I didn't know that before either. And just like, it's kind of motivated me to sort of learn about like the immune system and like what's actually happening at like a molecular level when I'm reacting. So yeah, I think just eye-opening.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then last question, do you think that allergies made you the person you are today?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And how so?
I think it's just made me a lot more empathetic and a lot stronger, because I've had to deal with all these different situations. I've had to epi myself a couple times, and just dealing with that trauma and just, you know, going on with your day and still managing.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. So you survived the fast five questions. Wrap this up a little bit. I want to do a little, this is the ideal little portion of the podcast, kind of moving from panic to more peace. So mm-hmm. a little bit more peace stuff and peaceful stuff. I know we talked about these stories about bullying and everything. So I want to move to the coping kind of situation, and how to really cope mentally. So, I want to move on to dating with allergies now. We kind of went to the childhood life and now I want to kind of talk dating. So mm-hmm. dating with allergies, how do you do, like, just like go for it, like talk about it. I don't know what question okay. to say. Just talk about dating with food allergies.
Okay. So it's definitely, I think it's like a skill that you sort of, you learn, you get better as you go, I guess. So like I've learned basically it's a lot easier for me to mention my allergy when I'm sort of interested in someone. If we're going to go on a date, I'll just sort of like, you know, a lot of times I text because it, yeah, but I'll just be like, hey, I have these allergies. I just wanted to let you know. I would feel really a lot more comfortable if you just avoided them for the day, or, you know, whatever, something like that. And then if they want to lean in for the kiss, it's like, okay, he's good. You know, so I've kind of learned that. I've sort of learned to not, like I said, sort of, it wasn't like you don't go too far into it in the beginning, just sort of like base level, what they need to know. And then like on the date, they'll usually ask me more questions, or I'll sort of talk about it more. And just as you get more comfortable with the person, you sort of talk about it more. Let's see. It's been like a long time since I've actually like had a new date. So I'm trying to think. But I think I've also learned just sort of looking for someone who's a little bit more compassionate. You know, sort of the basics, like I think regardless of who you are, you want someone who's kind, someone who is going to show an interest in you and actually care about you. And I know with my boyfriend, we sort of determine different systems, like, he won't eat nuts like on the days that I see him because my nut allergies are far worse than any of my others. So, you know, we have that system. And if he does eat them by chance, like if he's eating something and then we like spontaneously decide to hang out, we just won't kiss. Just because, you know, it feels safer. I think the interesting thing about my boyfriend is he actually does have food allergies too. Oh. So it kind of is nice because even though he doesn't necessarily have the same anxiety as I do regarding the allergies, he kind of understands what to look out for. He understands that it can be stressful and that the reactions themselves are highly unpleasant. So I think that isn't like, you don't need that, but it's also really nice when someone does have allergies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely probably very helpful because they understand what you're going to. It's like the same thing you said, like, they're like empathetic towards that. Yeah. So that's great. And so wait, what kind of allergies does he have?
So he's dairy allergy. My like one of the allergies that I don't have.
So you guys have like kind of mismatching kind of thing. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
It's interesting. Like when we kissed, you know, I have to make sure I don't eat dairy. He has to make sure he doesn't eat nuts. And then,
it's so in a way you both are allergic to the same things because you can't really eat that. Cause then when you guys kiss spontaneously, so it's like, you have to look out for kind of having a boyfriend who has allergies too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is, it can be a struggle, but, we've been together for almost 3 years. So we've kind of like, we figured it out pretty much.
Oh my God. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people with allergies like to have that kind of, I mean, it's great to have a person. It also it's like a support system right there too. You know, when you're having an allergic reaction, if you have an allergic reaction, you know, that's right there. They have an EpiPen. Do you guys carry like double EpiPens now then?
No, he's not as good about his EpiPens, but
you keep him in check, I guess then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely make sure I hardly leave a room without my little bag. Just, I don't know. It's just a part of me now, but yeah, I'll definitely be like, hey, like, don't forget, or, you know, things like that. But, he's learning. I think like since having me, he's learned more about like the seriousness of allergies. Like he's experienced reactions and not really handled them properly. And I'm like, no, if this ever happens again, like you use your EpiPen. He's like, oh, I didn't know it was that bad. And, so yeah, I mean, we've kind of like learned together too.
That's awesome. So kind of moving from the state of panic to more of a state of peace. So like, how do you do that? Like in your daily life, like how do you move from a state of panic when you're kind of having social anxiety and stress? How do you move from panic to peace?
So a lot of times, sorry, you might hear some background noise. But a lot of times I'll kind of go to the training I've sort of learned through, just therapy. I do some grounding exercises. I've sort of learned to meditate pretty frequently, and that sort of keeps me at a level where I'm sort of like giving myself a break from the anxiety, giving myself a break from the stress.
I feel like also just not trying to make allergies your identity as well, like kind of really focusing on yourself and other hobbies and kind of occupying yourself. So I didn't really think about it too much because I know mentally it can be a burden, not only physically, but mentally. And so I feel like mentally more than physically, to be honest, like there's so many things you have to worry about, but being at home is also a lot safer kind of with COVID. For me, I felt a lot safer with my allergies because obviously I know what I eat at home and I don't really go to that many restaurants anymore. So it's a lot safer. And it actually helped me a lot. I feel like COVID helped me a lot with my allergies because I got to really focus on myself and like kind of improving, you know, kind of working on other things like this podcast and kind of doing a lot of other things that kind of keep me occupied and like really busy, which is really, really great. So I definitely recommend kind of focusing on other hobbies. Like for me, I have basketball every day and I have all these different kinds of things. So it's really important to kind of not think about it too much and not really make it your identity. So what do you think about that? Like, how do you make allergies not your identity? You know, it's like a really like big question that a lot of people are asking themselves. So what do you think about that?
I mean, I think like I actually sort of look at it slightly different. I mean, I think it's good that you consider it not so much like the focus. But I think that it's also important to sort of acknowledge like, you know, it's there. I have these allergies, but that's okay. They don't have to be the front runner. And just sort of thinking about what are things that I like, even just being like, you know, I really like to paint, or I really like to go to the beach, or I feel really connected to this movie, or just sort of like pulling other things and reminding yourself that you are a little bit more than that, even though it's, you know, it's part, it's not all. I think doing like the allergy Instagram, it's kind of funny because it's become more of my identity now than like ever before, because I'm thinking about, you know, like, what can I do to support others with allergies? And so you kind of think about everything that you're doing a little bit more. But I think if you focus, like you said, on other hobbies, just doing things that make you happy and really getting involved in them, then it kind of becomes less of a part of your life, even though you kind of deal with it.
Yeah. And I'm sure like your Instagram thing, it kind of makes you happy helping others. Like I kind of like agree with you, like definitely before I had this podcast, before I kind of like doing all this stuff about allergies, I didn't really think about it because obviously I had them, obviously I'd asked no peanuts, but I don't have like so many allergies. So I can't really relate to a lot of people who do have a lot of allergies, but I just had peanuts and like seafood. So I didn't really think about it often. And so I'd eat whatever, not eat whatever, but you know what I mean? I would kind of not be super, super cautious about it. I didn't know a lot of people had these many allergies. I didn't know a lot of this stuff. And so when I started this podcast, I was like, maybe I can actually, this is during COVID. I was like, maybe I should do something and do something with my life and actually, you know, help people with allergies. And so I just made this podcast and it became a big part of my life, but I also just not try to make it my sole identity. Makes me happy kind of helping other people and really connecting with people like you. So to wrap everything up a little bit, I do this segment, it's called Words of Wisdom. So do you have any last words you can say to the listeners right now?
I think just remember that you are worthy. You know, your allergies are just something that your body does, you know, but you're a worthy human being. You're strong. You can do hard things, you know, even when it feels really scary, just know that these scary moments are just moments in time. You're going to get through them and you're going to be okay.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on this podcast. You're an amazing guest. And thank you all for listening to Less Panic, More Peace, new episodes every week. Peace out.